Welcome, everyone. Wonderful to be here with all of you this evening in the middle of this coming and going session. This evening marks the end of our first week of our 3-week intensive practice period here together. I wanted to talk a little bit about this section, Control, from the book Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And David, in his lovely talk this morning, quoted some pieces of this and talked about them. And I wanted to continue on a little bit with our discussion of this. The first line I'm going to read, David read this morning, and I thought, oh no! He's going to read the paragraph I'm planning to talk about tonight. And luckily for me, he veered off and headed in another direction, so I was saved. Suzuki Roshi says, to live in the realm of Buddha nature means to die as a small being, moment after moment. When we lose our balance, we die. But at the same time, we also develop ourselves. We grow. Whatever we see is changing, losing its balance. The reason everything looks beautiful is because it is out of balance. But its background is always in perfect harmony. This is how everything exists in the realm of Buddha nature. Losing its balance against a background of perfect balance. So if you see things without realizing the background of Buddha nature, everything appears to be in the form of suffering. But if you understand the background of existence, you realize that suffering itself is how we live and how we extend our life. So in Zen, sometimes we emphasize the imbalance or disorder of life. So, I don't know about you, but I often feel like this imbalance, a hair's breadth of deviation, and I am out of tune. A tiny gap that is like the distance between heaven and earth. And we're told that everything is perfect just as it is, right? And the whole universe is in this perfect dynamic balance. And when we look at the total, right, this view of the big picture, there's really no problem, is there? I mean, it's just the great ocean, as David was talking about so beautifully this morning, that it's this great ocean, and there are waves on it, coming and going, being born and dying. And this is not a problem. This is the practice of ocean, is waves. And here in this piece that we read from Dogen, Birth and Death, he says that this is the life of Buddha, this this moving, this changing. And Suzuki Roshi says, this being out of balance, this is what life is. This is what makes things beautiful, is that there's this separateness, this uniqueness. Things have edges. They're defined. They stand out from this background of perfect harmony. Each thing standing out. Each thing in motion. No problem. And when we look at a much finer scale, right, at the very small, the world of molecules and atoms and subatomic particles, everything is constantly moving and shifting and changing, and no two moments are alike. And in fact, it's mostly all just empty space at that level. No problem. But when we look at the scale of our ordinary, everyday lives, of objects, of things, of people, we see, as David was saying this morning, that everything is always falling apart. And this is part of, I think, what makes it so precious. Right? It's fleeting. Flash of lightning. Here, lighting up the sky, and then it's gone. And as I was walking in the Kinhin line this afternoon, I was thinking about this act of walking, and what an amazing thing this is. I mean, we take this totally for granted, this ability to stand upright and walk around, and yet. It's only fairly recently that even the most sophisticated computers can actually make this happen. You know, you balance this big squash on top of a 5, 6, even 7 foot pole, right, and attach these little tiny feet to the bottom, and how do you keep it upright? And then how do you move from one place to another? How do we walk around the Zendo together? We pick up one leg and swing it out into space. And we lean forward and lose our balance. Falling forward. And then suddenly catching ourselves with our foot. And repeating this over and over again. Each step a fresh losing our balance, catching ourselves over and over again until we don't. I had to get up last night in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and when I came back, I knelt down on the edge of my airbed, and I misjudged a little bit how close I was to the edge. And I fell off the edge of the bed, straight forward, and slammed my forehead against the floor with a big thump. I hope you didn't hear it. Life is not safe, is it? And it's not fair either. I'm always struck by that, you know, how unequal the distribution of stuff is, you know. when it's seen from my small self point of view, it's such a problem, you know, that that I'm falling apart, that the world is falling apart. Everything is on fire. Just look at the news. Oh my God. Particularly lately, it just really has touched me, all the difficulty. And yet, this is how Buddha nature lives, this motion.
Dogen says, this birth and death is the life of Buddha. If you try to exclude it, you will lose the life of Buddha. If you try to cling to it, trying to remain in it, you will also lose the life of Buddha. And what remains will be the mere form of Buddha. So this trying to exclude the parts that we dislike, trying to cling to the parts that we like, wishing that there was some way to stop the world so I could step off and not have to go through the difficulty. This is excluding it. This is clinging to it. This is losing the life of Buddha. He says, when you don't dislike birth and death or long for them, only then do you enter Buddha's mind. So this line actually hooks me a little bit, because it's quite important to me that I'm allowed to dislike this world of birth and death. Right? I take great comfort in the idea that I don't actually have to feel a particular way about it. And that when I'm angry about it, that's okay. And I don't think that's what he's talking about here, that I can't be upset and angry with this world of birth and death, because it's quite upsetting, isn't it? But there's this, not getting stuck in dislike to the extent that I am unwilling to participate. I need to be willing to participate in both the coming and the going, the gaining and the losing. And this willingness can look like, no! And that's fine. It doesn't feel fine, but this is the life of Buddha. This birth and death can be no other way. So he says, Dogen says, just set aside your body and mind, forget about them, and throw them into the house of Buddha. I love this line. And throw them into the house of Buddha. Just take the whole thing and ball it up and chuck it into the house of Buddha and let him take care of it. Giving up my small self's idea that I am the one in charge. That I am independent and responsible for how things go. When you follow this, you are free from birth and death and become a Buddha without effort or calculation. Who then continues to think? already accomplished. When we see this bigger picture of the entire universe being alive, moving, changing, so beautiful. So difficult, coming together, falling apart. Wow.
Thank you. So now we'll have an opportunity for our Dharma dialogue. Questions, comments, what have you.
Please sit comfortably.
It's great to be free of, we talk about being politically correct, but you're both pointing to, and Steve was really pointing to, this, the danger of being spiritually correct. You know, there's some kind of vice grip that holds us, and actually being a full human being isn't like that. You get to be you, you get to state your case, you get to feel whatever you're feeling. And that's important in our way. Thank you.
So thank you, Steve. I've read Suzuki Roshi's book a few times, and I don't know if I've ever picked up on that wonderful line about the beauty of the world is from the imbalance.
Yeah, being out of balance. Yeah.
I was really struck by that. Kind of a wonderful way of phrasing.
Yeah, isn't it lovely?
Yeah. Kind of hits the mark.
Yeah. Well, and we have some image of equilibrium is what we want, but there really is this dynamic quality of life, and the dynamism comes from losing our balance and finding it. I loved your description of walking, and how rarely we think about it, but you see a little one trying to do it. You know, they're holding onto the coffee table and they've got to launch out into this falling world. And the persistence of little human beings to learn to walk. It's like this urge to move out into space, this urge to fall, you know, is irrepressible. We want to fall, and the wonder of catching ourselves, this possibility of falling as practice. It seems like, well, that's so much more fun if I can fall than if I have to just... I guess we were talking about learning to surf this morning, and how the first surf lesson, Laura was saying, is how to eat water. what you have to learn first. And, of course, little ones learn to eat dirt, you know. For us grown-ups, it's a big deal, the forehead to the floor. For the little ones, what's the big deal? Here comes the floor again. I don't know how that happened. But this life where we can be out of balance, and then the swing and the flow and the possibility, so different from the control, command and control model.
And what was so lovely is, you know, it's not just like, oh, so this is how it is, you know, but it's like, this is where the beauty comes from.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Right. Yeah.
Right, so.
Any other thoughts or questions, objections? Yeah.
Just carrying on the thread, you know, that we're talking about here. And, you know, when he says, you know, this is where the beauty is, right? So, easy to hear that as that's only where the beauty is. The thing, you know, the things that are beautiful, so to speak. But what came up for me was I'm watching my mother die very slowly. And this is going to sound crazy, but more and more I see the beauty in that too.
Right.
You know, and we're not taught that. You know, we're so conditioned that this is a horrible thing. And I think the part that I see that's filled with beauty is that, you know, that each of us get our own life and we each get our own death. Whatever that is, you know, and it's unique for each of us. And somehow, even in the sadness and the grief and the wishing it could be different and wishing I could change it and fix it and all of that, right, is it's somehow this... I guess I'll use the word beauty again, but I think what I'm trying to get at is this aliveness or this dynamic quality that's there that doesn't always look beautiful by our normal sort of definition of beauty. And so just kind of wanted to extend that thought a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Well, you know, and what I'm hearing from everyone inspired by this talk is that if we're going to live an authentic life, we can't live the life that we're told we're supposed to live. Right? So we have so much conditioning. And to actually realize that it isn't about judging things good or bad or beautiful or not beautiful, every single thing is manifesting this aliveness of the awakened heart, everything without exception. So that includes anger and death and just miserableness as well as beautiful sunsets and all that other stuff, right? It requires us to to be beginners. You know, this is Suzuki Roshi's great contribution in a way, although it's a quote, as we know from Dogen. The capacity to really meet everything with a kind of curiosity. What is this? Rather than, oh yeah, this is that. And you're you. And, you know, I know it. Death is terrible. or, you know, the water, the beach is beautiful. Anything like that. So this authenticity, it requires freshness and curiosity for everything.
We found out when our daughter was a teenager that she hated the beach. We wondered why she was never happy when we went to the beach. Turns out she doesn't like sand and grit and things like that.
Actually, she was a very happy baby. And when she was about a year and a half, I remember taking her to the beach. And for the first time, she cried and cried and was not consoled by anything. And she was 9 months old. That's right, because she was just pre-verbal. And it's like, what? You know, do you want to eat? Do you need your diaper changed? And then later, as a teenager, she said, I've always hated the beach.
We're trying to be good parents.
The beach is beautiful. No. So her authenticity was very, very clear right from the beginning.
But it makes me think of this beauty as Suzuki talks about purity in the same way that we think of purity as refined, and he uses purity as whole and unadulterated, the real thing. And this beauty, we can make it this sort of hothouse flower rather than this great beauty of aliveness. This great beauty of life and death. And in that chant, I don't know if you noticed, but life and death are hyphenated, right? This is not life and death. This is life and death, which is actually what, there is no life without death. The definition of life is around death. So life and death, this beauty of the arising and passing away, and that's hyphenated too. The coming and going, that should be hyphenated too. Next year.
Next year. There will be that.
Coming and going. One word.
Yeah. So, I loved how you pointed to the aliveness in meeting this dying of a loved one. It has this piercing quality to it, right? That makes it so very clear how much we love, and it's so vivid and poignant and terrible, of course. But there's this sense of you know, this is what it means to be born and to die. It's, you know.
On that note, let's sit for a few more breaths and we'll begin our walking.